Hello everybody, good afternoon, good evening and good night, and welcome along to episode number 37 of season 2, and you're listening to forever and ever, the Killy Fans podcast. My name's Paul. Started this podcast last summer, year and a half ago, nearly 2 years ago.
2 years.
And I do this podcast on a Monday night from my mum's summer house, and my friend, my long-term friend and new podcasting partner, Callum Scott, joins me every week.
Indeed I do. We've actually been sat here for the best part of an hour.
There's another podcast that's been recorded on this mic that's in the ether forever now.
Could you imagine if that went out? The things we say in here,
no, we'd both be cancelled, man, long ago.
Indeed we would. So that's us just starting the new at 41 minutes past 9 on Monday the 15th.
An hour and 10 minutes we were yakking there.
An hour and 10.
So much history between us, mate. So much to catch up on. Commiserations, mate. The Grange were in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup yesterday, up at Stenhousemuir, a 1-0 defeat, and he's out.
That's it. Banging, it's gone, man.
That's it, man.
Scottish Cup, dreams away. Nah, it was bitterly disappointing. First of all, obviously, I want to thank everybody that came up to support us. Plenty of good Killy fans came up to see us and gear up their time, so it's much appreciated. And I'm just disappointed that the boys never gave a good reflection of themselves. I know it seems easy to say, but conditions were really poor. The wind and that was horrendous. It wasn't raining or anything, it was just really bad with the wind stuff. Couldn't really play football. And it just, wasn't a great spectacle. And we end the game with 9 men. We've barely had a red card all season. And you end the game with 9 men. There's no been one bad challenge, no one flashpoint. So
that's it. Say one, mate.
Nah, yellow cards for absolutely nothing. So, nah, that's what it is. I'm just disappointed.
I unlucky, lads. It's a shame. I couldn't make it, but I paid for the stream on Warriors TV. Is there someone I can apply to get that fiver back? Or?
There'll be plenty of folk lining up for refunds. Thankfully, I put the rang, well, because of the miscommunication with the Scottish Amateur FA and Stenhousemuir, I put up the YouTube channel. I presume it would have been out live like it did last year. But no, it wasn't that. So if we had done that, I think there'd be plenty more folk queuing up for the finals back, right? Because it wasn't a good game of football.
Listen, but hard lines, mate, still something to be very proud of, mate.
Best of luck to West Side in the final. By the way, they're good boys in that, so, and I hopefully they go
West
on it.
Coast. right, so we'll go on with the Killy stuff then. Obviously, we don't have a fixture to preview because we're waiting on the announcement of the top six fixtures, which will be out before we record again. But we'll reflect on our final kind of normal season game at the weekend there, a 2-0 win up at St Johnston. We'd spoke a wee bit last week about the away record not being quite where it should be, but by all accounts, we've been up there, similar in many ways to the Ross County game previous week. A very routine win, where we just look like a top four, top five team against a team struggling against relegation. So, but we'll obviously go through all that like we always do. We'll need to talk about Europe because it's on the horizon now. And I think we're very close to confirming it, obviously. I think we need seven points to be 100% sure of it. But that obviously depends on different teams' results, but we'll talk a wee bit about that. We'll talk a wee bit about the top six fixtures. We obviously made another announcement about our live show, the end of season party on the 17th of May. Talk a wee bit about that, and then I think tonight will be our penultimate match of that day.
Gang.
Aye, we'll get the fivers in, we'll get the total up together, and we'll get another check handed over to the food banks thanks to everybody's generosity.
You just sick of me I'm
just running out of games.
That, what was that?
You had a really bad night one night.
Motherwell or something. Just
I couldn't remember anything.
Still don't.
But most of your weeks have been excellent, mate. Bit like the Grange, you just, when it mattered, you bottled it. I'm obviously kidding. We'll wrap that up next week, everybody. So I appreciate that. But we'll day match of that day tonight. But this run of form we're on now, mate, is absolutely absurd. We're now top of the form table as well. But just to go into the St Johnstone game specifically, a really, really, really comfortable win away for him, an excellent performance, and just keeps this incredible run that we're on ticking over, mate. It's sensational.
Exactly what you've just said. It was like Ross County game all over again, except, well, a lot better fit, but it was just that real level of belief that we were a good level or two above them.
Even Craig Levein said that, I think, and all after the game.
And that just shows you, that's credit to how far we've came. Even playing them there back in right at the beginning of November, end of October.
Aye.
2-0 down in 10 minutes, man. They're at bottom of the league and we had a half-decent second-half performance. But you're just like, that was, again, it seems pretty easy to kind of refer to this, but it seemed like an Aberdeen playing St Johnstone.
Aye,
Under McInnes, it was very like that. And that's the belief we need now. See, just getting that other away one, because obviously that's three now, which doesn't seem like a lot, but we've not been bait either. You know what I mean? There's hundreds and hundreds of draws in there, which is credit to them, but you're like, we needed that because there was that wee period of anxiety where you're thinking, we should be getting in here at half-time, two, potentially three up, and then that period in the second half, you're thinking, how have we not scored yet?
Mm-hmm.
And got to come on to him, Dennis, I've said for a while, I've been unsure of him, I think he's decent, but he pulled off a massive big save, obviously for that corner, the set piece. Brilliant save from man. That's exactly what we want. That's won us points. That's what we've been wanting. And for somebody that's not had much to do all afternoon, that's exactly the level of concentration that you're wanting there. So it's a credit to Will Dennis. And then we go to Joshua Ward, and again, you're thinking in the end, you could even go, honestly, 3 or 4-0 would have been a fair reflection of the game. 2-0 kind of flatter St Johnson.
And it's excellent, mate. And like I say, I think the Kelly View boys had posted a wee bit of kind of comparison to this time last year when we were getting into the bottom six fixtures, a lot of anxiety around about that. But obviously ended up staying up with a wee bit to spare because two excellent performances the last two games of the season. But we've got 20 mere points than this time last year. 20 mere points. I mean, that is I would have been delighted, mate, if, and I'm sure maybe we will do this actually when we kind of round things up in 2 or 3 weeks' time, but I would have been delighted. So we ended up with 40 points last year, I think.
Aye.
When they end, I'd have been delighted with 50 points this season. Mm-hmm. I think that would have got us in probably just about the kind of the top end of the bottom six or whatever. And to be sitting with 51 points to me, mate, with 5 games to go and looking at the fixtures, who we're going to be playing. We obviously don't know the makeup of the actual homes and aways. You just know there's just no way we're no picking up mere points. I'm not saying we go there and pick up 15. I'm not even saying we go and pick up 10. But you can, we're going to come up with 4-5 points minimum because we're so competitive and we've been so competitive all season. And we're going to end up with a really, really, really excellent tally, mate. And considering where we were this time last year, the change in form for the players and the squad in general, exceptional, mate, really, and you can't praise them highly enough.
Nah, it is, and it's just when you think yourself out it and you see the level of progress, it's frightening. Rangers, the only team to beat us, man, like 2 defeats in what is it, 18 games?
It's half a season, mate.
It's form unheard of, to be honest. And you're just like, this is brilliant, and the good thing is it's just a stepping stone to the next season for me. We're building for strength, man. We've got folk tied up on our contract. It's, where do we improve here? No, shit, we need 3 centre-halves, we need 2 centre-mids, we definitely need 3 strikers. We're thinking, right, who's got to come in and take us to the next level now? And how long has it been since we've had a Kelly team like that? And come on, anyway, press the buzzer, clap. We didn't even have that clap because you thought, have they got an early season in them? It felt almost with Clark's first season, well, his first 6 months, to see the end of that season, you were like, was that a one-off kind of mm-hmm. flip kind of thing. The players get that in them again, whereas you know that's a big good squad, because this was still the same players under Clark that were bottom in the league for a period of that season, you know what I mean? Whereas you're thinking, right, did they just get a tune out of Dicker and Power in the middle? Yeah, we need an air few players. No, and he coached them, got to a different level, whereas these guys, you're just like, it's a brilliant squad, plenty of options, ability to play different formations a wee bit. Now, don't get me wrong, I still want to see some fullbacks, remember them. But in McInnes as well, credit, when I seen the team, I was like, I see 5-2, I goes, interesting, because we've been doing the 4-4-2 and it's been working
well.
And again, but just shows you what a bit of credit the bank does, because if that's this time last year, we're thinking, oh, he's changed it again, he's done this and that, whereas he was shrewd. But that actually was a bit of tactical noose for him, because it says, oh, St. John's play the diamond, we need a bit more, and we completely controlled the midfield. We were brilliant, played Kennedy and Armstrong as wing backs, basically as wingers the first half. The two of them were a joy to watch, man. Aye. Particularly Matty Kennedy, and you're just like, right, nah, that's what you want to see now, man. That's the wee things that you want McInnes to come in with and show that he's got the tactical brain. He's really been a brilliant man manager and getting folk that love him, want to play for him, and can just setting teams up kind of hard to beat. I'm excited. I'm already looking towards next season. We're enjoying this, we'll enjoy being in the top six, we'll enjoy playing the Old Firm in the big games, and hopefully end up in Europe, which I believe we will. But you're just thinking, right, who's got to come in and take us to the next level now? You're no worried about losing Hunters of Folk, mm-hmm. or if you're losing them for good money, mm-hmm. you're no such and such out of contract, you know what I mean? I know Watkins will go out at length anyway, but I'm just right excited. It's just that it's a brilliant time to be a Kelly fan, and even a couple of months ago, nobody would have seen where we are now.
No, I think if you'd taken Dundee's position, do you know what I mean? Sneaking into the taps, like everybody there with that went great. I'm delighted with that. But to be so comfortable in fourth at this stage of the season, and you're right, man, the makeup of this squad is exciting, because I think the likelihood is that we're big three sellable assets, which are Mayo, Armstrong and Watson. You would think one of them will go, mm-hmm. right? You would think, you can't guarantee it, but you would think an offer will come in for one of the three. And it would make a pit, as we've discussed on here, it would make sense to accept it for one of them. But I don't think all three will go.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So you're building for that position of strength. You've obviously going to have an extended budget, because you're finishing in the top six, but Europe potentially there and all. It feels slightly alien to feel this confident about getting into next season. But it's just, I think there's a stability about the place they're now, about the club, about the messaging, about the team on the park and the players that are signed up. And all these guys, I don't think they've peaked, man.
Nah.
Do you know, I think you're going to get Mayo out of Lions. I think you can get Mayo out of Kennedy still. I think you'll get Mayo out of Armstrong if you stay. You're definitely getting Mayo out of Watson. You've got McGuinness to come back and get in touch with, man. He gets a run, because he was probably our best player.
He was.
Do you know what I mean?
He was.
I think will still get better. And then you're talking about the loans and stuff like that, which we'll get into over the summer or whatever. But no, man. Absolutely tremendous. Big Joe Wright, friend of the podcast, the multi-talented. Tony Santana, that boy.
The answer to any question.
The answer to any question. He grabbed his silly goal, and as you've been singing his praises on here recently, saying he'd really kind of fun about a form, and I agree. And then Marley Watkins, my million, mate. Unbelievable. Poacher's goal at the back post.
The second goal was just brilliant. The delivery for Armstrong was incredible.
It's funny how you just expect that level of quality from
every time. Every time. Ball at the back stick, D's getting the header, and it's like just almost a cue up. I know obviously he ends up stretching for it, Watkins, but you're just like, it's just exactly what you want. It's a striker's dream, that, isn't it? Just a nod across the 6-yard box, pat it away, man. Brilliant. And just to be shout out as well, Kennedy's effort for that corner, man. They missed it in Kelly TV because we're too busy showing the replay. Oh, what's happened there? And I just seen, and here's my bias coming in, I just seen Vassell, we see these ones, and I goes, oh, is that Vassell missed an air Saturday? And then next thing you see the corner for Kennedy, and you're thinking, see just the cheating audacity. That's the confidence everybody know, and it's brilliant. It's the only thing that I could. Obviously, a bit older, and we're getting the rewards with potentially European football and that, but it must be kind of like the high days of Jeffries. Except we are hell of a lot better record against Oldham.
That's what I mean, and I think that when you looked at the bench, right?
Options,
The bench on Saturday, I looked at that, and you're looking at Van Veen, Stewart, Gary Mackay, Stephen, Brad Lyons is back, Balaghese's there, you've got Ndaba on the bench, you've got Dees on the bench. These guys play for, mate, they play for every team below us in the league. Man. These guys play and they're on your bench, and then you've got guys like Fraser Murray who's contributed, and it's Cameron who's contributed, can't even get a strip. Mm-hmm. So the depth is as good as I can ever remember it, and particularly in the sustainable fashion that's been happening when we're not just flinging $6,000 at folk like we were 25 years ago. And I think that's why everybody's got cause to be optimistic going forward next season, because these guys, the 80% of these guys are going to be here. Mm-hmm. There's more to build on. And I do think we're in for a sustained period of stability mm-hmm. and success. And as Killy fans, mate, I do think in the main, we're pretty realistic about our expectations, right? Nobody's expecting, again, we'll go back to Clark. That was unsustainable to finish third every year. That was never going to be something that we can do. But definitely when it was under Williamson, then a wee bit under Jeffries too, when you know that you're going to be in that top six, Hibs only there, Aberdeen only there, Dundee United only there, we're there, and you feel like it's not a flash in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
You're already confident that next year, I'm not saying we finish fourth again, or fifth or whatever, but you think,
we'll be top six
again next year, or close to, or if folk are going to finish above us, they're going to need a lot of points, mm-hmm. we're going to be, and it's such a good feeling, mate, and I think...
It feels like the journey for McInnesty now, and as you said, the key word there, the stability, it's came a season a hell of a lot earlier than I would have thought. Like, I would, again, this year, you just spoke about, we'd have been delighted with 47, 48, potentially 50 points come the end of the season. We're sitting 51 now, but you're just like, wow, it's as if we've jumped a step.
Jumped a season, aye, that's a really good way of putting it.
It feels that way, because even it's with the whole pattern with Europe and us joking and me thinking, I'm not prepared for it, because you just weren't, it wasn't in you thought, you never know with the confidence, kind of finished fifth, but you're thinking, right, that's us, when a hell of a good team, man. I just think that, it can only get better in regards to the legacy being built here, as opposed to, it doesn't mean we're going to finish fourth next year, doesn't mean we're going to finish third, but you're just like, right, I'm no fear about relegation, man, and don't get me wrong, players in a year we could be back in that, the chances of that I believe are slim. I think that seems to be a wee bit in the past now, and we're into an era now where we can take a bit of pride in the club again, and it's that level of sustainability, as you've said, and stability, where we feel like we should be. We should always be in and around that kind of 7th, 6th, 5th, anybody
aye, and it's been great. It's been a brilliant season, and I think in particular the last 3 or 4 months, mate. I mean, it feels like we're never talking about getting beat.
And
even the games we did lose, we were still putting decent performances. The only black mark's the Aberdeen in the cup. That's the only blip in months and months and months.
It shows how far I've came, because again, I've always been critical at times, but that Aberdeen Cup game, I was gutted to have Dales went up to it, but I wasn't throwing the tail in on that. I was just like, Ken, what, that's just been an off day.
We could absorb it, and
we've not had any of that this year. We've honestly no, and it's there to prove. The away record, couple of day draws turned into wins, and you're in third, simple as that. And that's got to be the way they've got to look at it, addressing it getting into next season. But you're thinking, just not getting beat anymore, man. We're not beat after 15 minutes away from here we were last year. We're competitive in every single game, and you're just like, it's brilliant, man. And it's great to be in that stage of the season. We can just enjoy it, man. You're no pressure, you're not looking at your shoulder anymore. Even. No,
exactly. So you've played 30, I mean, for Kilmarnock to have played 33 games in that top division and picked up points in 25 of them is unbelievable. I think Rangers have only picked up points in 26 games.
Well,
again, obviously the win-to-draw ratio is totally different to us, but to be that competitive in all the games when at least when you play, so Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Aberdeen and Hearts, right, for a start, they should always be taking points off of us. Their aim will even come down to Rugby Park. They're always thinking, we'll take a draw, they'll never think we should beat them, ever. And you're far superior to them.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Far superior, and that's for buying. Obviously there's some poorer teams in the league, the likes of Livingston and whatever, like, maybe it's slightly different, but it's been an exceptional run their own, man. So that's us number 8 points clear of St Mirren, right? Which deserves some sort of recognition for FIFA in itself.
Of course.
To be ahead to that gargantuan football club. 8 points, unbelievable. But obviously everybody's got hard games now, that's the whole thing with the split. And regardless of what we do now, and like I've already spoke about, I think we will pick up a few points at least. you just kind of see St Mirren winning three of their games and overhauling us, can't you?
It can be, even if, and it's a real possibility, and I think in actually our part of our side, when we play them at St Mirren, that is their cup final, because we do own them, right? So like, it will be like, and I have a feeling that they could beat us, because they need to, they are due to beat us as well. And you're thinking, right, even if they beat us, they don't catch us, man.
No, that's not, it's, that goes to 5 points. They've essentially got to win 4 of their games probably to catch us, and that's us losing oil. So you can't, listen, any football fan will tell you that you never celebrate until it's mathematically possible. But if you're in, if Motherwell are where we are now, or St Johnstone, or Hibs or Hearts, you're going, they're third, fourth away, got to play for fifth now. So it's a strange feeling, mate, but you've got to think it's going to take some sort of weird, real reversal in our form for us not to be in Europe next year, mate.
Do you see us dealing with this well? Again, there's no areas not to be, but in regards to, because the pressure is off, like you're thinking, right, what surely is that a good thing?
I think we will deal with it well. Aye. Because we have got such solid foundations now that I think even 3 or 4 weeks ago, even though this great reform was still happening, remember that night at Hamey Livingston and all that, it was sludgy, mate. I've noticed a slight difference in the boys, where the handbrakes might have been released just slightly, and they are expressing themselves a bit more, and I think it's because there is so much trust in the system, and man, the confidence is everything in football, you know what I mean? You hear that for the very top level, never mind in the Premier League in Scotland. So I think we'll cope it well, and I wouldn't be massively surprised if we ended up closer to 60 points now. I think we'll pick up wins. And mate, you know how you can tell? Every Celtic and Rangers fan you talk to, that's the one. They're talking about Kelly, they're going, oh no, do it. Rugby Park, you know what I mean? And you know that because that'll be the game that they're going, that could change everything, because we're so good, particularly at home. So it's been incredible, mate, and you'd be very disappointed if we never finished fourth now.
Aye, that's it. It's got to be. So no, I'm with you. I think with the pressure being off, you're just seeing the confidence grow and grow, and that's been evident the last 2 weeks.
So the top six fixtures will be announced after the Rangers and Dundee stuff. So it's meant to be getting played at McDermott Park now, I was reading. If Dens fails another,
it's the backup. So of course we all know what the top and bottom six split's got to be. But the reason being is, if Dundee beat Rangers, then 9 times out of 10 match day 2 of the split's Old Firm.
Right.
But if Dundee beat Rangers, there's a chance then that Celtic can win the league on that match day 2, and they don't want that.
Rangers lost another game at Celtic, right.
So that's why they're
waiting. Oh my God, that's kind of pathetic, isn't it? Everything's pandered, man.
So that's why they're waiting for the outcome of that before we get the guaranteed
into the fixtures and stuff like that.
So I'm thinking now, apparently it's on today with the run-in, which is interesting to see whether that does make it favourable or no. Apparently people now believe that because it's in Celtic's hands, like, and Celtic are the favourites after Rangers slipping up at the weekend, that Celtic will be the home game.
All right, on the final day.
On the final day, as opposed to Rangers, so that potentially blows out the theory that they'd be playing us. But then Falsey actually said, obviously, the original Helicopter Sunday, they both played away from home, but I can't remember that ever been repeated since.
Rangers were at Easter Road.
And Celtic were at Motherwell. Whereas all the time, it's always alternated. But then again, I thought when Rangers won the league last time, when they were actually human beings on the ground, when they beat us 5-1 at Rugby Park, but they were the favourites, it was all in their hands then. And they had to come to us. So again, who knows if that's
all the
nonsense. We're not here to deal with that, but my prediction for the split, if it was got to be that, was we will play Rangers first game post-split.
Away?
Yep. Then Hearts at home, and then it will be St Mirren away on the Saturday, Dundee away the Wednesday night, Celtic at home.
Interesting, but by the time we reconvene, we'll know exactly how the season's going to wrap up, so we'll see what happens. But I think we've nothing to fear anyway if we get into the last 5 games, regardless of how it all unfolds and tumbles. We'll be competitive, mate, because we've been competitive all season. Right, we'll go to the Twitter, man, because there's always loads and loads of questions. But before we do that, we made an announcement. We've got our end of season party, everybody, on the 17th of May at the Barclays Suite. just to wrap up, it's been a fantastic season for the football club and a brilliant season for us with the podcast. Our second season, it's been even better than the first, I would like to venture.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Aye.
All thanks to all you folk for supporting us and listening and helping us out with everything. So, and we announced our third guest after we'd announced Stevie Murray, Alan Mahood,
yep.
Friend of the podcast, and then the one and only Patrick Aloysius Nevin. He's joining us. So Pat Nevin's going to be there.
Aye.
So I'm a Pat Nevin stan.
Aye.
Read both his books. Absolutely loved him as a player. Like, loved him. Thought he was amazing. Yeah, I think he's a great guy too.
Professional chipper of the ball.
Professional chipper. Some of his highlights are unbelievable, mate. Like, next level. So again, this man in front of me did the things he always does, and I've got Pat Nevin coming to the bat this week.
We do. I want to give a shout out and thank Baz assisted with that, so obviously Baz listens a lot of the time as well, so thanks again, mate, for that. But I delight it as well with every single one of them. It's just growing, it's adding to it. It's good we crossover as well. Obviously my hood's played with both of them, so it's just really exciting. And Pat Nevin, obviously, we kind of had a wee joke about it last week, innuendo about Ken potentially fits cult hero status with Kilmarnock, didn't he? With regard to Ken, he only spent a season at the club, but he's so well thought of and held here in high regard. And you'd think the way that people talk about him, that he'd won the cup, or you know, he'd played 3-4 years with us at our peak in the late 90s, early 2000s, but he was only here for the best part of a year. But the impact that he had is evident with the fact that we've booked him for this live show, and folk have got to be buzzing to see him and hear him talk all things Kelly.
And he's really, really, really open and all about his time at Kelly, and how it ended, because he was getting a bit of stick when it happened. I remember him leaving and he went to Motherwell and folk were pissed off.
You should bring up the situation with you again. That's right, honestly.
Rightly so. I've maybe told this on here before, but I'll tell it again. And folk were pissed off that he'd left, but he obviously got this amazing, unusual opportunity at Motherwell. But there was stuff going on behind the scenes at Kelly anyway,
aye,
which is he's wrote about in his book, and he'll be more than happy to talk about on the event if folk want to ask him about it. But when he had left, Motherwell would become player chief exec. And by the way, see that book on his time at Kelly? Remember, this fascinating man.
This is in the second one, as opposed to the first. Aye.
So his first one's made about his time down at Chelsea and Everton and stuff like that. But this one is more about when he's at Tranmere, then he comes back up the road to Kelly, and some brilliant stories about his time at Kelly, and then the subsequent move to Motherwell and how all what happened, because Motherwell were a basket case, man. Absolute carnage. That guy Boyle. It's a brilliant read anyway, just for by the Kelly stuff, which obviously did interesting. But so when Pat left Kelly, I was devastated. He was my favourite player at the time. This would have been 1998, towards the end of 98, maybe. Aye, that season with the blue and white stripes. Because we did something, McCoist was there, and Nevin and Durant, and all. I'm like, this is like the Scotland team for sensible soccer 4 or 5 years ago, man. We're just waiting on John Collins signing. But so Pat had left, he went to Motherwell, and I was devastated about it. And so we were playing Motherwell a few weeks later, and he came down. And so I'm maybe 14, something like that, right? And I seen him after the game, and he's left, he's come out the main doors, and he's walking towards his car. And so I've went up to him, right? And bear in mind, I'm 14 here, and I went through a phase bleaching my hair Eminem style, probably had a white tracksuit on, right? No, I wasn't. I didn't look as if I was approaching him to have a discussion about politics or caviar or anything like that.
He's sitting here with a Lacoste track on the
road. Go, hey man, listen, the old habits die hard, brother. I've got my son's trainers on.
You then did. What are they called again?
Don't embarrass me, what are they called?
No, but I thought they know what this is, how to touch armour with trainers.
Y3s?
There you go.
Oh, they're Yeezys.
Yeezys,
they're Yeezys. Thanks, Taylor. So I was I went up to Pat Nevin, I was like, Pat man, like, what you left Kelly, man, what you doing, man? Why'd you leave Kelly? And I expect him to go, one of the things we man, like, but and honestly, I'll never forget he spoke to me with so much respect, man, and like gave me hundreds of time and properly so explained to this wee bam at the fat bar in the car park at Kelly why he left. He's like, well, I'd get presented with a huge opportunity, an opportunity I wasn't expecting. I loved my time here, but obviously I'm a professional footballer, I've been playing for this time and got family to think of, and I get this chance to go to Motherwell and become the chief executive, which really interested me. Thought it was a really different role. So I'm now standing there with my mouth like, what? Why is he telling me all this? And it was just an opportunity that I felt like I had to take. But that's not to say anything negative about Kilmarnock. I love my time here.
He said to me,
how long have you been a Kilmarnock fan? And I'm like, he's like, do you go to the games all the time? I said, aye, I come every Saturday. I go to some away games and all that. And he's like, well, you never stop. You've got to keep supporting Kilmarnock. Because I know it can be hard. A little bit of Celtic Rangers fans at your school and all that. He's like, you've got to keep supporting them. They're a great club. You should be dead proud of them.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, he is the soundest person. So I was, you know, it's like you're buzzing when you're that age. And I was like, oh, thanks so much for talking to me. And he was like, no, thank you. And keep following Kelly and getting his core. And I was, and ever since then, I've been like that as a proper guy, man. Never made a player. Like, to give me that time, that's not what football players do.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Even the brand new football players are still like, oh, cheers, wee man.
Aye, aye.
But to actually level with me and talk to me like that, this is a guy who had played with Chelsea and Scotland and Everton, and he was just, and so ever since then I've been like, that's a top man. So I'm absolutely buzzing to get the chance to talk to him again and tell him that story face to face.
Nah, exactly. Well, because when I obviously was working on it in the background, I text you to say I've got a wee surprise for you, because I know that you obviously he's your favourite ever, man.
Aye, absolutely loved him. So that'll be that on May 17th, everybody. Tickets, what are we thinking? When will they going to be available? Have we got a date?
Friday?
Just did it this
Friday.
Just did it this Friday.
Yeah, put them out this Friday. Nah, we had a rough idea. We've maybe got to stick them out last week, but I think Friday, and then that's an entire month.
Aye. Gives folk plenty of time to organise stuff.
Aye.
On the Friday night, and we'll release them here as we go in terms of what you'll actually be getting. But for those of you who were there the last time, you'll know the kind of setup. It'll be slightly different because it's just going to be in a wanner. There's no game in the middle because the game will be the next day. So I will get it out. But again, thanks everybody for all the interest and the support we have. We're hoping
the video for the last one on YouTube is now at 2,000 plus views.
We need to monetize that.
So
I can buy some more Yeezys.
Lacoste tracks.
New
phones that you've
best
got.
Aye, listen, mate, the phone's unbelievable, isn't it?
Aye,
right, I'm getting my information device up here and I'm going
to. Time for the X.
The X questions, alright?
With plenty. I think there was like 30 odd responses.
Can I commend your immaculate use of the emoji on our social media?
You're not in a fuss.
No, recording episode 37 tonight in the wee microphone.
Yep.
So people know what we mean. Get in touch with any questions or points today, and you do an exclamation mark and a question mark, and then the wee finger that points down.
Points down.
Absolutely beautiful, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Love it. Speaking of which, the Kelly View podcast, they've responded, and they've done quite well with their emojis here. They've got the wee speaky person.
Yep.
And then the headphones.
Well, the speaky person I like to use for quotes.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Right.
When I then. Somebody's social media. Do that for quotes, but so I like that. But I need to address the Kelly View. Obviously, listen, brilliant listen, Alan Taylor.
I'm glad they finally made that public, mate, about you and that Rangers Spurs account that you're on. The Kelly View were slagging Kelly Cowell this week, and that's what we want.
Exactly. Nah, the more folk doing that, the better.
Because everybody just
really wants to be in on me, you know, man. So it, just a little. You got to roll with the punches. But no, brilliant listening again. Alan Taylor was on it. Tremendous. Funny. Had a chat with him over the weekend. He's one of these baby brains that seem to think Derek McInnes is better than Kamal and Stevie Clark.
I know. That there is that skill. By the way, me and you chatting all that time, never even said congratulations. You're an uncle again.
Oh, aye, I was the other night.
Aye. It was wee baby Mara.
Baby Mara. Aye.
Congratulations, mate.
Very, very sweet and cute. And it's actually brought Alice out of her shell, which is really funny. Because Alice
lovely.
Was pretty reserved, but now because there's competition the minute. The minute we opened the door, she greeted us with a quote for a book that she's reading.
Right, there you go, man.
Aye.
Excellent, mate. Aye, so one of my best pals in the world is Callum's big brother, John, and he had a baby last week. So congratulations, mate.
Thank you.
Right, mate, on to more important matters. Question for the Kelly View. Right, if you had to do a live show with any three of this year's squad, who would it be and why? Obviously, Joe Wright is one of them. Correct.
Aye.
As long as he brings his guitar, saxophone, a poem to read out,
LCD.
And he's able to pour some pints. Who's the other two candidates?
Bricky as well. So as long
as he can build the venue.
CSCS card has to bring that. build the venue. Right, Joe Wright goes without saying. No point in even going further with that. I would say Marley, innit?
Marley.
Aye, right. And either Kennedy or Armstrong. You can't have two of them.
Right.
No. What would you think?
Mine would be Vassell and Van Veen, and get this sorted out once and for all.
Who do you think would win a fight?
Who would win a fight? Who are they two? I think Vassell looks to me fitter, but Van Veen's got the dirtiest player in the book. written all over him, man. I think he's a heel. He's got the Ric Flairs about him, so yeah. I wouldn't want to say it. Extreme Rules match, I would go with Van Veen, but just your normal, I would go with Vassell.
Vassell, interesting.
Aye, that's who I would have, they two.
Aye.
And get it out there once for opening the great rivalry.
The great rivalry.
Mikey Kenmure asks, looking forward to Europe. If we do finish fourth, can we get any better Q2 in Europa League, depending on who wins Cup? The qualifying round two, aye. So depending on who wins Cup and all that, man. So I think there's another question about that. We'll probably get through it.
You ain't the Audis or something?
Pat Nevin is a brilliant guest for the live show. Oh, and whose title party we reckon? Sevco or Septic?
Well, Rangers have already ruined their own title party.
Ruined their own party, but I don't know. I think there's more twists and turns to come.
There will be. If again, talking to Devlin McCloskey here and certain Celtic fans, I wouldn't be getting too heated ourselves.
No,
but you've got it. Still, it must be kind of quite funny.
Aye, you've got.
It's funny. Funny for us. Never mind being one of them.
Aye, you've got to laugh. That's the good thing about it. Can I just laugh at one of them?
Aye,
you know what I mean. That's the nice thing.
But it must be like, because Celtic are the big dogs now.
Aye.
Rangers, it's all mouth. Why, that's us, we're back with this. Nah, I fancied them, man. I thought they'd go the distance.
Aye. They were well beaten the other day, I know, for what I've seen.
Simon Murray.
Girls don't like boys. Girls like Simon Murray. Captain Conker, the wonderful, gorgeous, the coat, the rich red coat on the
red coat. The red coat, the Highland Clearance.
The red coat of fur. That glistens in the spring sunshine as he delivers pockets full of happiness to the youth of Kilmarnock every Saturday.
Yes.
I just love him to bits. Asks this question, how will you be celebrating Alston won the league at Rugby Park Day on the 22nd of April?
Don't live in the past unless it's Steve Clapman.
Like, exactly. I don't live in the past but for Miller Kostjuka. What a night. Always be a memorable one, mate. Eh?
Almost the inspiration to start this.
Aye, that was it.
It was Graham Spears, but aye, it was.
Well,
was after the high of the promotion.
Aye, why was Gia wee nod to Blair Alston, mate? Yeah. A legend. Does Kelly Cal dislike Ali, that guy Johnson that plays for Celtic? He was getting slagged last week solely because he looks like Randall from Recess.
He does look like Randall Williams for Recess a wee bit. There's plenty of folk that fit that.
He does look like him
as well. And Recess was my favourite ever.
Did you like Recess?
Ah, the goat, man.
What about Hey Arnold?
I liked Hey Arnold, but I was a Recess loyal. I'm feeling it. Did you ever watch Eight Simple Rules or not?
I'm a wee bit old. But I was slightly old.
John Ritter, man.
Oh, God. Did he die?
Aye, during making it.
Right.
So that was the whole concept of the show, was he was a dad. So it's funny, me and Alison do watch that. It's on Disney Plus. But Recess is like a proper infant was my favourite.
Is that what you liked?
Brilliant.
My wife really likes Hey Arnold. That was her favourite.
Hey Arnold's good.
Movie football head.
Mm-hmm.
A player cuts holes in the socks, do they wear the same socks again? What is this trend if a player's cutting their holes in their socks?
Right, so are you talking about cutting for the ankle or are you talking about the back?
No, I don't really mind the ankle thing as much.
I still think it's
stupid, but what's that thing to expose the calves?
I don't know if it's to let them breathe with cramp and all the rest. Cold water therapy.
It's a bloody fad.
It's just
like they vapes.
But mind, it's just folk go through. I mean, remember Under Armour? Just not really a thing anymore, is it? Remember it was massive.
Base layer. It's a base layer.
Remember it was massive though, like, and just folk go through it. And
remember
that
folk
used to wear socks out of their knees and now they want to wear them down.
Dead low. Remember they were all wearing nose bands?
Robbie Fowler.
And then what else? What were they chewing that thing? Snooze.
Snus is still cutting a bit.
Is that still going? Just
getting better to get it.
All right, I'll talk to you after that podcast and get a show. Lee McNaught.
Paul Wright, like plasters over wedding rings.
Aye, Danny Armstrong's, he does still wears the wrist protection.
Aye, that's wrong. But remember, like, the wedding rings, man.
Aye.
I've got really kind of.
Do you remember the folk would wear the tape over their earrings?
Aye.
I know.
Aye.
Class.
I've got a really silly story to tell you, but that's quite funny.
Aye, after off here. Not good for the podcast.
Aye, it'd be funny, but it probably exposes me as being a wee creep.
Right. Well, maybe tell it next week. I'll veto it first. Lee McNaught asks, how good was Avril Lavigne's post-match interview on Saturday? I genuinely thought he was going to cry. I didn't see Craig Levine's interview, did you?
No, but you said that he complimented Kelly. I actually like Levine, man.
He said that he just thought we were just a wee bit better than them.
I genuinely
had to accept it.
I genuinely like Levine.
Aye.
I used to really like him and then I hated him for that period as Scotland manager. Came and it went sour.
Aye.
Which is a shame. And then I actually grew to kind of quite like him again.
I
hates Rangers and Celtic, man.
I always had a feeling that he would maybe end up at us.
Should have
done. In fact, hand on cards on the table here, Callum. I would have taken him when Tommy Wright got it.
Right.
I would have. See, if somebody had come out and went Craig Levein, I'd have probably taken it.
I remember saying to folk at the time, folk hate the name and know the CV.
Oh, right, okay.
Because you're like, if you were to actually break down what he's done, I know he's no won a trophy and all this, a manager, but in regards to his level of experience and make teams well organised and that, like, it's kind of hard to argue with. Yeah. A period of time, he's kind of had his day now. But I've always actually had a wee soft spot for Levein. And I said when I got the St Johnson job, to have on the bottom of the league, said we'd keep them up, get laughed at.
Well, he's done.
Levein now dead and buried.
He's certainly done that. And so Lee also asks, who's your least favourite opposition manager who you like to see devastated?
Naismith, man.
Naismith? Aye, for what he done.
Just what he done.
Aye, you're coming into my way of thinking here, mate. Come on.
What he done to you, obviously, man.
What he done to me, man.
Nah, just...
He had the audacity to be better at football than me.
Nah, Naismith, the minute that wee rat signed for Hearts, man.
Aye, that was you.
It just broke my heart because I loved him that much and I thought it was incredible. And I still thought he broke my heart and you disagreed, man.
Nah, honestly, over the last 30 years, there can't be a more overrated football player than him. Never done it.
I'll never forgive him for going to Hearts, man.
I get quite a kick out of David Martindale struggling at Livingston.
Aye.
Quite like that.
Tav does what Tav does.
Aye. It's funny. Right, GCF Escocia, who we've not heard for a couple of weeks. Why?
Okay.
Pourquoi? Would you play Kevin Van Veen now for the remaining games and send Vass for this operation?
Aye, I'm going to say it. Got to say it again, Van Veen comes on in, 88 minutes or something? See what that
That's
dink...
quite long for him, mate. He'll be knackered.
But see that dinky let up to McKenzie? Like, nobody else does that. That's why I'm saying that he's got the quality, man. Airfolk seem to just... Kid on doesn't exist.
Okay, well, I think
Airfolk, I mean, somebody sat across the table for you.
Aye, well, I don't rate him, but I think he'll be here next year. That's my prediction.
Did you get that snus contact that I was talking about?
Honestly, I think you end up signing. There you go. Yes, that's my early hot take.
Him and Greg Shaw?
One of them? Aye. I honestly think Van Veen met up. I'm trying to make sense of this whole thing now. And I'm beginning to think that it's a bedding in period and he starts the season next year firing him and Vassell up front. There you go.
This is sick.
I'm a sicko, man.
Sickos.
Bidey, greetings, lads. Good to see Cal on Saturday round at Santino.
Yep.
Santino Corleone.
Rest in peace,
man. They did to my boy, man. I massacred him.
Massacred
Regarding Armstrong.
Urbanist, that is, by the way.
Is that the new Urbanist?
Rebranded, very good. I enjoyed it. Cal Mari started. It was incredible.
There we go, man. Any higher compliment?
And Boydie, getting to see Boydie for a couple of minutes.
Even better, mate. Regarding Armstrong, normally with players in that kind of form, rumours start round about now for certain teams looking at them, and I've seen nothing. Do you think there's any chance we keep him for another year?
We've said this, haven't we? Well, you've had stronger feelings. I put forward a hypothesis
that could we potentially offer him a 3-year deal and $3,000 a week, and he signs it. Make him a wealthy boy.
Just think it is hardly as if he's young as anything.
What is he, 27?
Aye.
But then again, that's a good year. That's a good time to get a move on it.
It's now or never, really, isn't it? So that's what I've said, where if we can keep him, if he stays beyond this summer, then I think that he's just got to be our guy. But then if this is a, it's literally a sliding doors moment. He moves this year or he stays at Kevin.
Right, question for you then.
Right.
Name one team that you would accept him if he went to, right? A club that you're like, rah, that's cool, I'm happy with him going there. And what? And one team you would hate it if he went to.
Right, in Scotland?
Not any team in the world.
All right, well, I would like it if he went to... I'd like it if he went to America or something.
No, I never asked for a country. I asked for a team.
All right, so... Philadelphia.
The same team that Stuart Finlay was at?
Aye.
What they called Philadelphia Union?
There was interest for America, you know?
Right.
And I just think if they can afford the Yankee dollar.
The Yankee dollar?
So
£1 million to Philadelphia Union, we're all happy.
Aye, because then I'm like, he'll do a Stu Finlay and he'll get out there for end up 6 months back. And enjoy it a year and then just come back.
And the team that you would least like him to go to?
Nobody in Scotland's got to pay that money for him, but of course I would hate it if, even though I would say that it never happens with us, and this way you have us a level above your Motherwells and St Mirren's and blah blah blah.
The step up thing you're talking about, to Aberdeen and all that.
Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs, like, I just never see them being able to do that.
No.
Fake Kilmarnock. Then again, watch me my words, but I just don't see it.
No.
Whereas it would make it, like, see on paper if you're looking at that and somebody that's not a Kelly fan, but as an Aberdeen fan, why would you know? But why can we not get Danny Armstrong? But I just don't see it happening. So I would hate it to see him play with somebody else in Scotland. But again, maybe it's uncontroversial. If he were to move to one of the old firm, we would still go with my best wishes. I genuinely would, because I'm just like, he's, again, Danny's completely exceeded expectations. He's sent for Raith Rovers and a free. Like, the wee man, whatever moves he gets, I hope he does well.
Good, alright.
Well, it's not against Kelly, mate.
Of course, mate.
I'll support you, mate. It's not against Kelly.
Alessandro Boscanero, who is not Italian.
I'd obviously have sent me Rangers, obviously.
Aye.
Can't me.
asks, hopefully I'm not too late. Never too late, mate. 33 games done. Which game has given you the most satisfaction this season? Beating Celtic for me.
Well, I missed the one because of the Great Scottish Cup duties. What a waste of time that was, missing that game in December. But I'd actually honestly say that the either one of the first two, when we beat Rangers, first game of the season was brilliant.
Aye,
right,
because
you were just like, oof, because I fancied this, I thought we'd do alright.
What's this?
Aye. And then and then beating Celtic with the Rodgers thing, and then that was the birth of the Fields of Brendan Cry. So
I know.
And then other than that, the St Mirren games we've got to live long the memory for. Aye. The live show and the 2-0 coming back for 2-0 down, just aye.
Brilliant, aye. They're pretty
plenty of games.
They're memorable forever. Aye. Never mind just in one season. Good answers. Christy Sykes, hello mate. And with us all but confirmed European football for next season, what do you believe is a realistic aim in Europe? Who would be a realistic signing you'd love to see the club make that would get you off your seat? So, realistic aim in Europe, right? So, this all depends on various teams winning the cup or not. So, you don't want to go too deep into this, but I think I'm led to believe if we finish fourth and Aberdeen don't win the cup, we're guaranteed...
Two fixtures.
As in, a round in one competition, and even if we lost in the Europa League, you drop down to the Conference League.
Does that still come in with this whole Rangers and Celtic potentially losing the Champions
That League? Might affect that for the following season, our eye, so...
aye, because that's not until next year,
obviously.
It's
not the year after, aye. So, I think a realistic aim, because you're getting to qualify in round two, so there's no way you're getting to the Europa League group stages. There's too many big teams on your road. But if you drop down to qualify in round three in the Conference League, and you'd be seeded, you could maybe get yourself into the playoff, and then again, you're probably coming up against somebody that would maybe beat you, but you can just...
Stop it.
I'll just shut up there.
Aye.
Who's our realistic signing? Kevin Van Veen.
There you go.
There you go, mate.
KVV.
Johnny, how you doing, mate? Achilles Chef. Do you think as a club with a long tradition of having very good number ones that the goalkeeping position is something we need to address?
That's in was Johnny said was Jamie McDonald the last number one we had?
Aye, Jamie McDonald was the last contracted number one.
Sounds
that's probably right. That's
quite
weird.
Concerning, isn't it? But that's weird, it aye. Will be because it was Jammer. And then, obviously, we released him. And then it was the Jake Eastwood and Danny Rogers
and Doyle.
Was there. I know Danny Rogers ain't signed a year deal, but he's obviously not a long-term option, is he? And then it was Zach and Big Sam.
We need somebody in to and put the number one in their back. I would agree. That's a good question.
Aye, especially Kelly.
Statement of intent.
Point it out, we've always had a traditional
game. Daniel, is it just me or is anyone else getting PTSD with that? We're on our way. Chant, kind of shake off memories
Tommy
of Kanna's key.
Start at that.
Was it?
No. Let them sing, man.
Let the people sing. Greg Halbert, if we're away for the last game of the season, who are you hoping for? Rangers, St Mirren or Dundee?
Away last game of the season?
Aye.
Rangers.
Rangers last day of the season. Gads, man.
I'm just deliberately doing
that. I would be happy enough if Celtic had already won the league. That would be fun. We're up there, I think.
Nah.
Be a damp squib. We could go up there and have a wee party at their expense. That's be sad, good. Man. I just don't want involved in that. I'm getting too old. Right, a wee stat that's maybe been overlooked. This is for Aidan Lynn. Will Dennis is the fourth highest number of clean sheets in the league, only one behind Joe Hart. Would you take him back next season?
I think that he would, because I think he can develop. But again, I've said, and I'll still stick by what I've said beforehand, that I don't think that he's won many points, but he's starting to do that. Again, the save at the weekend was brilliant, and that was a level, wasn't it? It was been battered with shots left, right and centre. He stepped up in a big moment, and again, you can see strength to strength. We've already commented on his level of clean sheets and how much credit having the defence deserves for that. But I just think that Dennis is one. I don't doubt in a couple of years' time Dennis will be a brilliant goalie, but I just thought for periods this year we maybe could have done a wee bit better, but he's showing the now why he's got the jersey and why McInnes trusts him. And
so you think he'll end up back next year?
I don't think that's not me saying I think he'll be back next year. I think he'll probably get a move.
A higher loan, maybe something Champions League.
Potentially, aye.
I would take him back. I think he's grown.
I would because I think he will develop.
Gavin or Hilson, how are you, mate? I obviously met Gav at the Rangers game. Not wanting to tempt fate, but here we go anyway. Who at the following would we want to play and why? So this is the current Europa League qualifying two thing, and we are obviously unseeded. So we could potentially play, or finish the new. This is the pool we would go into, and we could potentially play Sheriff Tiraspol from Moldova.
Yeah.
Hapoel Beersheva for Israel. Racing Genk for Belgium. Rapid Vienna for Austria. NEC Nijmegen for Holland. Omonia Nicosia, Cyprus. Trabzonspor for Turkey. Or Vitória Guimarães for Portugal.
Well, your answer's Portugal, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not allowed to go, so it wouldn't matter. My wife has literally said to me, I'm going to start a campaign on this maybe, but she said, I was obviously boring her with all this chat, and she was like, I don't know why you're even talking about, because you're only going to that. She's, I mean, my wife's great, she lets me go out and go to gigs and go to FIFA and go to Belfast and go to Germany for a bit. She's like, nah. She's like, you just go to everything, you're away every month. She's like, you can't, you're not going on a wild goose chase on a month's notice to Turkey to watch come on it. She's like, I'm just not letting you do it. So there we go, I'm not getting anyway, so I don't care who we get.
You'll get to the home game, mate.
I'll get to the home game. So if you disagree with that, let me know. Send me a message and I can show that the public opinion does not back her directive on that.
No.
So help me out if you want, but I am not getting to go. But all the ties would excite me. I think something like Genk would be cool, man.
They're a European side.
Good standard, innit? In Belgium, it would be an easy trip and easy for everybody.
But see, if it were that, for example, yes. Say it is Belgium, Genk, right? That's achievable for you to get to.
I agree.
No, because this is almost my dilemma as well, because I've already got a journey for the Euros. There's only so much money in the world, mm-hmm. So much time.
You have so much.
Exactly. I'll have even more after this season, but I think that you're like, that's achievable. That could be a day. That's a one night.
Yeah, you could leave at 10 in the morning and be back at 10 the next morning.
Aye.
So there you go, Mel. Doesn't need to be everything's at least let's talk about it, darling, you know.
Would she never be interested in going?
I would love her to go. She's threatening to go to a game before the end of the season. Ali Bowie asks, who's the best Watkins in British football, Ollie or Marley?
Who's Ollie?
Ollie's the guy that scores all the goals for Aston Villa, mate.
Who?
In a real league. Ollie Watkins is so much better than Marley Watkins.
No, he's not.
Aye, he is, man. Ollie Watkins is probably one of the top 10 strikers in Europe now. Marley Watkins runs about. He's he's Kevin Van Veen's understudy at Killy. Nah, Marley all the way, of course.
How does Ollie Watkins compare to Clash and Huntelaar?
No, there's a question. Let's get that out there. Possession of a pointless portrait.
Wafted. Criminal charges brought against.
Darren McIntyre asks about what do you think the split fixtures will be? I can't talk, so we'll just need to skip that. Sorry, mate. I'm lost the power of speech.
I've said my predictions then.
Ah, you've got that there, man. Taylor Day, hello, Taylor. Brought you to see Brad Lyons back from injury after that setback. Be nice to see him playing alongside Watson and let Operation Qualify for Europe commence.
Yep.
Come on, son.
Right, we'll be able to get in. Both Paulie and Donnells have been different classes.
They've been excellent, mate. Donnell was tremendous again.
Donnell was excellent, probably my man in the match.
Absolutely brilliant. Ian Gowdy, the Killy poet, has sent in a poem. I'm going to read it out aloud.
All right.
Poetry Corner. And I want a critical essay on this poem for you next week. European thespian cuisine. Ewan McGregor and Gillian McKeith. Watching St. Johnson's like pooing your teeth. Stephen Cree and John Gall. Is that Big Cree? Tyre fitter.
The tyre fitter that works at Turnbull's.
Aye. The tyre fitter Cree and John Gall. Watching Kilmarnock caress the sweet ball. Saints couldn't score. Killy got two. Ayrshire's finest stay fourth. Dell doesn't deceive. Europe the go. I like poems that rhyme. I don't know how that, there's obviously a way of delivering that there that I've not got the chops for, I'm afraid, Ian. So hold on. Watching Kilmarnock caress a sweet ball, Saints couldn't score, Killie got two, Ayrshire's finest stay fourth, St Johnston in the loo. That's what you're meant to do. You're meant to do another rhyme, man. Europe, the goal is almost achieved. Oh, deceive, maybe rhymes with achieved. Sorry, mate, I've butchered your poem there, man. Apologies.
Hey, listen, there's a bit of pressure to read stuff like that.
Too much for me?
Nah, that's too much for you, but I you gave it a good bash.
That's all you can ask. I'll rehearse it and do better next time. Aye. Graham Johnston asked, do you think Dennis gets enough credit? We've kind of covered that there. Only ever hear bad things about him, whatever else. Aye, no. His clean sheet was hard fought. St Johnston didn't offer much, but a few big saves. Aye, you're absolutely right. And I think maybe we have been a wee smidgen harsh on him, because I think his record is tremendous. And the stats don't lie, much like the hips.
They don't.
They don't lie, mate. Danny, Dan the Man, 1869, great Twitter handle. Not Kelly related, but what do you think would be a better achievement if it does happen? Leicester winning the Premier League in 2016-17, or Leverkusen if they go the entire Bundesliga undefeated? By Leverkusen? So Leverkusen won the league in Germany, which is...
Right, again, I'm pretty dumb when it comes to...
You're now militant in your lack of interest in anything other than Kilmarnock.
I did see that Leverkusen won the league, Chad Bellons was a gaffer and all that. Aye. I did see that. But what size of club would you compare them to in Scotland?
So I think Leverkusen and your... So I think your big teams in Germany are obviously Bayern or your Old Firm. Mm-hmm. Dortmund are probably between Old Firm and Hearts and Hibs.
Aberdeen,
aye. But Germany is quite a diverse, because you get teams like Hamburg are big and Stuttgart are quite big, and obviously Kaiserslautern are day in the sun, and then Werder Bremen are a big club.
Pretty incomparable. Then,
so I think Leverkusen are probably a kind of, I would say, maybe Dundee United sized.
Right, okay.
Can quite
was one of the bigger. Was it the first time they've won the league in like 120 years or something?
They've never won it first time, because their nickname was Neverkusen, because they never won it.
Never won it, right. Well,
and
so
they came third in all competitions. They were runners up in all their competitions in 2002, I think. They came second in the Bundesliga, the German Cup, and the Champions League. Was it 2001? When it was at Hampden?
2001.
Was it two? Aye. Well done to them. I think Leicester's still a bigger achievement.
I just think the Leicester Rangers. Leicester, okay, because that's what I'm saying. I was surprised to see that Leverkusen had never won the league before, because I still regarded them as a kind of pretty like Champions League and that.
Aye, that's right. They're a big club. But aye, well done to them. Johnny also, this is the Kelly chef, also bring back match day programmes. It really annoys me and puts me Doogie out of a job.
Yeah, the program
joke. I had a drink with him.
Did you?
In the crew.
He drank the rakia enough.
He was in having a few gins. I know. I love the program, man. Right, the boys bust. I don't think we sing Derek McInnes' Blue and White Army enough.
I don't think we've ever sang it.
Derek McInnes' Blue. It doesn't work.
No.
Derek McInnes' Blue. Bobby Olsen, Blue and White Army. Bobby Olsen. Not enough room. We need to get a song for him, man. Plus, we should have.
Nah, but we've got. Dale McInnes, but it's not really for me, man.
Dale McInnes doesn't work for me either. No. We should be playing Paper Roses every game, regardless of a big win. Big teams always play their favourites, plus it leads and builds to a connection with the song. Not enough of the youth now have the connection. Interesting.
I can see the argument with the youth not getting the connection, but not for me at every game. I think it's going to be kept for titles and cups.
Special occasions.
Aye.
Nicky McCool, who would you replace Marley with if he leaves? Hope he doesn't. Simon Murray. So Simon Murray has been asked a few times. Bosbust also asked, should we should sign Simon Murray from County, 18 goals in County.
I've
he's 32, it, Simon Murray.
Him, man. Aye. Falls rated him, I think he's a good player.
Good player, aye.
He's big Hon for the time. He's getting daring. Aye. If it right fit, he'd.
Aye. I wouldn't be.
Girls love him, man.
And the girls love him. I wouldn't be against Simon Murray signing if the time
seems
comes.
Like a kind of McInnes player, but I just don't see him signing.
No.
He does seem like that kind of.
And Mike Elder. This is the last one. How much extra cash will the club make from a top 6 finish and hopefully Europe, and how should it be spent? And he'd said anything about Michael Stewart last week. Remember, we didn't
and
know.
He said that, I read the comments.
He said basically that Marley was a useful squad player and nothing special. Paraphrasing. What a load of bullshit. Looking forward to the show. Thanks, man. Right, how much extra cash did the club make? You know this. You've got your accountancy degree, so what we
accountancy degree and my percentages predictions last year as well.
You're so bankrupt.
I don't know, probably we're on a deficit with the money that we're paying Kevin Van Veen to play for.
Aye, exactly.
So,
I think we'll make could probably make a gutsy £1 million, I would say. See if we get through to that, like even the playoff run. Because it's the big Stevie was saying the other night, he's like, mate, see if we get in that Europa League group stages, you're just on the telly as a matter of course. Like, you'll just be on TNT. Like, no, like, oh, the killer games won't just be, all the games will just be on.
Aye.
Be crazy, man. Dead exciting, isn't it, to think about. Alright, thanks everybody, as always, for your questions. And I don't mean that's no piecemeal, I genuinely mean that, because it's a crucial part of the show, so I appreciate it. All the questions, keep them coming. Right, we'll wrap up with Match of That Day, mate.
Yep.
So, for those of you who listen every week, you know we're trying to raise some money for the food banks, which is an unfortunate state of affairs in society these days, but they are needed. So we're trying to do a wee bit to help. We hand it out a check before Christmas, or just run about Christmas, sorry, and we're going to add in another one with all your fivers that you've put in to sponsor this wee section of the show. And obviously some of the money and all that was added to it was be the dearly departed CB, who you remember, a great Kelly fan that sadly left us. And he was a big fixture online and stuff like that, and so a lot of the money's been raised in his name too. So we'll do another one next week, and then we'll get the wee totaliser out, and we'll hand over another check to the food banks, who are such an amazing initiative and help so many families with a bit of dignified food provision. So that's what we've been trying to do, and we've been doing it by asking you, the loyal, humble Kamara supporter, to sponsor this wee bit of the show. And we have another sponsor who has already previously sponsored.
Yeah, there's been a theme of that though.
Aye, people are getting back in touch. And you see this about all the time now. So they're obviously doing their social media well. It's the Plomo.
Yep.
Yes. Hats.
Beak, Declan Marlin.
Aye, so see it all the time on social media. You see Brad Lyons has got to sell one. I know that big Hemmings got one and all. And you see plenty of folk wearing them, stuff like that. So they do look quite smart. Again, I'm probably too old for a Plomo hat. But if you're under my age, and a lot of you will be, unfortunately, because my numbers are getting quite big.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. Great local company. The hats are really smart, mate. It'll be right comfy and high quality, stuff like that. So you'll see it. Check them out on all the socials. It's Plomo on Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff. So check out the stuff. Really high quality. A few Kelly players have endorsed it. So thanks very much to Declan for getting in touch and sponsoring again.
Obviously, he's a good Kelly man as well. So
support that if you can. So if you're looking for something slightly different, the hats are black and they've got the wee kind of neon side. They are actually genuinely smart. So Plomo, check it out. Make sure you do. And get yourself a wee cap to finish off your outfit.
That's it. It'll be ideal for the summer, come on.
Do you know what folks say now? Fit check. Heard that? Heard folks saying fit check. And what they mean is, look at what I'm wearing. They go, time for a fit check. And fit means outfit.
Am I fit?
No, it means outfit.
Oh, fit check. Right, okay.
Aye. So fit check for me the night. Fit check sounds like a guy that plays sweeper for Poland or something like that.
Does, aye.
Actually, look at my fit check the night. So got my son's Yeezys on, which may or may not be fake. We don't know. I've got socks that my mother-in-law gave me. Did they say Colorado on them? No, but they've got a wee
John Denver's
full of shit, man. I've got Real Madrid tracky bottoms on.
Nice.
That I got for classic football shirts, £14.
That's a bad
thank you very much. I've got my Lacoste jacket that I got from Livingston Designer Outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, half price. I've got a nice t-shirt that your aunt served me in Peacocks. A black t-shirt there. Just keeping it simple. That's my fit check. What's yours? Talk me through your outfit, please.
Adidas trainers on.
Right.
Black. Very dressed in black.
You look like you're doing referee training tonight. Adidas.
Aye. So, standard black socks.
Right. Where did you get the socks?
Don't know. Just black socks.
Just your black socks, right?
Black Adidas joggy shorts.
Yep.
Where'd I get them? John Scott Senior's wardrobe.
Nice, thanks, Dad.
They're too big for him, so they give them me. And then I've got this thing that you've complimented before.
Huh?
Christopher Moltisanti Adidas jacket.
Absolutely lovely, mate.
Bought for Satriales in New Jersey.
I like it, us do, mate. A picture of Sartorial Elegance. The best clobber in the tune.
Exactly.
But Plomo stuff is nice. So get involved. Right, so let's date, mate. So because we're coming towards the end, I'm just going to give you Jeffrey's stuff.
Because
that's your era, man, isn't it? Jeffrey's stuff. So we're going to go back to May in 2005.
You alright? You got a wee fright there?
I don't have a wee jerky hang, I'm no coping. Right, May 2005.
See.
Right, okay, so you'd have been coming up to 10th, your 10th birthday?
I've been 9 and a half.
Nine and a half. So is this you Yeah, in the year, is this when you're writing your wee books now?
Funnily enough, I didn't have a season ticket this season.
No.
I did the season after and the season before.
No. Right, okay, let's see if you know. So, if you were going to the movies in May 2005, around about this time, you would have been going to see Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, or Seath. I don't know, I've never seen it.
Nah,
you?
Nah.
Seen any of the Star Wars films?
Nah, I'm quite embarrassed about it.
No?
Oh, well, I've seen The Phantom Menace, and I liked that when I was young.
Right.
Never seen it.
So, you could have
obviously, it's supposed to be incredible, but...
You could have went to see Kingdom of Heaven?
I remember
Orlando Bloom.
I was very into medieval stuff,
right?
Because I was at
the
King
Crusades.
Arthur. Oh, I was at the Crusades.
That's Crusades.
So I remember thinking that, but I just never got around to watching it.
It's meant to be quite a lot. It was Ridley Scott, so
Ridley Scott.
He comes up with a good name. And then the following week, so you could have went out this week, but the following week, Batman Begins came out.
Well, these are the best.
Man. Aye, favorite Batman film.
Batman Begins, brilliant.
Aye, excellent.
Aye. Obviously, I like The Dark Knight Rises. I don't know.
Aye, Dark
controversial,
Rises. Very, very good.
And then The Dark Knights, obviously.
The best one is still Batman 1989, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Still the best.
Everybody says that. I actually thought the recent Batman was good as well with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, right. I've never seen that. See the trailer like for it. Joker 2 or no?
I've not watched it yet, but I've heard.
Steve Coogan's in it. Weird.
I've seen that, eh?
So that would have been at the picture. So if you were listening to music and buying...
I'd be good at this thing, I think.
Number one song?
Natasha Bedingfield.
No, it was Lila by Oasis.
Was it, eh? Interesting. Don't bore the truth.
Ross Montgomery, my cousin, was convinced that Oasis stole the idea for that music video for him. And I was like, how? But he was like, oh, I had that idea. You were watching it on the telly and all that. And then, so maybe, I don't know.
Somebody stole his thoughts.
He's come in, he's brain and done it. Album was Forever Faithless, The Greatest Hits by Faithless.
What's that,
Tremendous.
We Come One, man.
We Come One. I've seen Faithless on a couple of occasions and they were exceptional. Maxi Jazz, sorely missed. It was 21st of May, it was 2005. Very nearly end of the season.
Game of the season.
It was the last game of the season. We were playing Dunfermline Athletic.
4-0.
4-0.
It was a Helicopter Sunday.
Was that it?
That's the only reason I remember it.
Right, okay.
I remember, actually, filming enough I did, because I had it. I remember Cree, because I wasn't allowed to stay up late, used to record sports scene for me, like with a videotape.
That's extremely...
Even then, because, like...
Extremely wholesome.
Aye. And I remember him recording that over some kind of travel show or something like that.
Right.
And I wanted to see it because it was the Helicopter Sunday and it was highlights of the Kelly game. And obviously I wasn't there, but we only get the wee shitty remember that kind of era and like the guy that's narrating it try to be funny and see they just commentate.
All right.
No, Ken, I'm talking about.
No.
I'll tell you in a minute. But I remember as being, but it was the same day. I'm convinced they obviously Rangers won the league as well. But
right.
I won 4-0 last game of the season. I remember as wearing the tap for next season.
Aye, it was the kind of the
one that faded,
fades away a wee bit. Yes, we did have that on.
It was a cool tap. And I obviously remember us winning 4-0. Was there any chance that Dunfermline could have still won? Oh, no, they were already really. No,
they could have. Because I think we scored. I think it was a goal difference thing. They needed to get really heavily hammered.
Aye.
But they ended up staying up anyway. But I think there was a bit of worry at one point because we kept scoring.
So.
But do you remember who scored the goals?
I seem to remember Gary Locke delivering corners onto folks' heads.
Right.
But did Gary Locke score himself?
He did. Gary Locke scored,
that's what's standing on it. I seen him in the airport and I was going to Atley, actually.
Oh, did you?
To say that, he was wearing a Stone Island jumper.
Get a badge on.
Aye. Their goals, I'm just going to guess Boyd.
Boyd scored one, yes.
Any other hints?
Cult hero in this house, me and you love him. Scored
Ryan Dodds.
Yep.
Seems like a very fixture he would pop up in.
And another midfielder, local guy,
Gary McDonald.
Mate.
So I remember it being 4-0, and I just obviously kind of end the season, Kelly already comfortably safe. I mean, just missed it in top six.
I think we did.
And we were just kind of battering teams there. So I remember that, but I think the second two, as I remember, it was Helicopter Sunday. Team Cumin Nets. Right back, Fowler. Centre halves, Ford and Greer.
Greer and, by the way, was it Locke?
Oh, interesting.
Locke might have been playing centre half. I think he was.
Right, left back, Hookie.
Hookie, yeah, midfield.
Gary McDonald, right, or centre.
Looks to me like centre.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Invincible, right?
No, he's not quoted.
No.
No.
Gary McDonald, Alan Johnson.
He came on as a sub.
Jesus, right. Who else would there have been?
Who you want to go? Who played up front?
Direct Boyd and Nash.
Boyd Nash came on as a sub for
Gary McSwiggan.
Gary Wales.
Gary Wales, sorry.
Yeah. So you're Swiggan missing three. So you've got McDonald and Dodds playing and two other midfielders. These guys, this might have been the left and the right or the other way around about. I don't know.
Stephen Murray starting all that, no? Thought so, but
Oh, Stephen Murray came on as a sub.
Yep. I'm getting all the subs anyway. I'm trying to think. Can you give us a wee hint for
them? Somebody we've already talked about tonight, somebody that you think's a rat.
Oh, the rat, aye.
Stephen A. Smith, aye. And guys, I think he's still the manager of Aberdeen as we speak.
Oh, Peter Leven.
Peter Leven, yep.
I've been playing left mid, aye. I think, yeah.
Subs not used. Smith.
Graham.
Hamill.
Jamie.
Scotland International. Loy.
Rory.
And Wild.
Greg. Gary boy, good to hear you again, man.
Some funny Dunfermline players. I know.
Jim Wishman's a gaffer, eh?
Was he?
Stilly
and goals.
Failed Tory candidate.
Actually?
I stood in Central Wayshire at the last election.
Oh, there you go, man. Darren Young, Scott Thompson, Mason, Derek
Gary
Young,
Mason,
both the Youngs,
player.
Craig Wilson, a sub come on called Labonte, Billy Mehmet.
Oh, Billy Mehmet, man.
Jamie Langfield in the bench. Noel Flanders. Hunt in the bench.
Good player.
A guy called Ross, a guy called Dunn. Harry Dunn. It's Lloyd Christmas's pal. Still want to go to Aspen? Oh, yeah. So there we go, aye. It was the last day of the season, 21st of May, 2005, and we beat Dunfermline by 4-0.
What a day. Do you have any memories?
I remember being at the game specifically, but...
One eye in the Rangers.
Obviously, mate. And
celebrating the goals.
I was just... I'm 19 at this point. Probably have started having a few beers before the game and all that. Became a bit of a... The football becomes a blur when you start having 2 or 3 pint Aran ale before the game in Witherspoons. 20 pence a pint.
20 pence a pint.
But aye, man, so there you go. That was really good. Well done, mate, considering.
Nice.
You were just a pup at the time and weren't even allowed to step and watch the highlights. You big baby.
Teresa Scott's fault.
She was really running a tight ship back then, man.
Aye, and you wouldn't think that the way she is.
No, she's a really gentle woman, aye. But like... The lady's not for turning.
Rolled an iron fist.
That's it, man. The regime. Aye, right, okay, mate, we'll wrap it up there, man. Thanks very much for your company again, buddy.
Aye, thank you.
So we'll be back next week. We'll have a look forward to the fixtures. They'll be announced by then. And with the kind of run into the season, we'll have a better idea of what we're facing over the next 2 or 3 weeks to get this season wrapped up, man. So aye, thank you once again, everybody, for all your support and all your ideas and all your questions. The tickets for the live event should be on sale this week. So... snap them up if you want to have a laugh with us in the last of the season. Remember, Pat Nevin, Stevie Murray and Alan Mahood are going to be there, as well as some live music and a beer and some chat, as you've come to expect for this podcast.
Indeed you have.
Okay, everybody, right, thank you so much again for listening. Everybody have a good week. See you later.
Right.